Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
We have been talking about the honor of God, and I'm almost done with this series regarding the honor of God. How many people are more convinced that if we honor God, God will honor us? Amen. How many people want to live a life that honor God? Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 43 to 44, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Jesus said that many people really seek the honor from one another, seek honor from man. But he wants to encourage all of us to seek the honor from God. And I would like to encourage this generation, our church here, to really live a life that honor God and receive the honor from the Lord. If we honor God, we live a life for the glory and the honor of God, God will really definitely honor us. And you know, when God honor us, people will see it. People will know that, wow, this is amazing. These people live a supernatural life. They live in a higher plane of life because God honor them. Sometimes we need to honor God even though we have to pay the price. Jesus Christ, he paid the price. When he was arrested and was brought to the cross to be killed on the cross, he could have backed off. He could have said, Father, help me. I don't want to die on the cross anymore. I just want to continue my life. But Jesus Christ did not stop honoring God. He came to the world to honor God by fulfilling the mission that he was called to do. That was to die on the cross. He suffered the cross. He endured the cross to honor the Father. And you know, God honored him. He came to the world to be the slave of all. He served everybody. He helped people and he died on the cross. But God lifted him up high on the right hand of the Father. He is being seated at the right hand of the Father. He received the highest honorable position in the whole universe. Because Jesus Christ did not back down. Jesus Christ did not back off from fulfilling the honor of God. Amen. Are you willing to die for God? If God calls you to do something and you need to honor God, I wonder, are we willing to die for God like Jesus Christ? Amen. Even though we are living in a very high technology world, the issue of the honor of God has not canceled yet. We still need to learn how to live our life to honor God. And I believe that in our generation here, we're going to live our life to honor the Lord. Amen. Live our life to honor God. We are living in the world that's full of lie and deception and dishonor and dishonesty. If people ask you to lie with them, to cheat with them, to corrupt with them, are you going to follow them and live a dishonorable life? We need to live an honorable life because we are worshiping the honorable God. Do you know that our God is so full of honor and glory? If you go to heaven right now in this physical body, you cannot look at God because you're going to be melt. Because God is so full of glory and honor. Your body right now cannot stand the presence of God. Amen. That's why people fall down when they're touched by God. That's why people get drunk. People get weak when the presence of God touches them. Because the presence of God is so full of honor and glory. Therefore, I would like to encourage all of you, living an honorable life in the manner worthy of being a child or a son and daughter of the honorable God. Amen. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't corrupt, don't do any things that will dishonor God. Live a life that honor God. I'd like to read this scripture one more time in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. A story about a few men that did not honor God. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and that of your father, forefather Aaron, should go in and out before me forever. This is talking about the family of the priests named Eli. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God said that whoever honor God shall be honored by him. And whoever despise God, he will lightly esteem. This is talking about the story of a family of a father named Eli. Eli was a high priest in the time of Samuel, many generations before Jesus. And do you know that faith is not genetically passed down? Believing in God or honoring God is not something passed down genetically. Some people may grow up in a church, go to the Sunday school, living around the presence of the godly men and women, even see the glory of God show up in the church. God is moving in the church. But it doesn't guarantee that those people who grow up in that atmosphere will honor God and love God. The sons of Eli were growing up in the midst of godly people. Eli loved God. Eli was the high priest. But the children, the sons, did not honor God at all. This is one of my prayers for the children in this church, that this generation will love God, but I pray that our children and grandchildren would not behave like the sons of Eli. They dishonor God. They despise the thing of God. And I pray that all of our children will love God, will continue to honor God like their parents and their great-grandparents. Amen. How many people pray like that for our children all the time? That our children will love the Lord with all their heart. Amen. Look at what they did at that time in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. They corrupted the offering in the house of God or in the church. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. When people come into the church and lift their hand up and sing song to God and they even give offering to God, it does not mean that that person know the Lord. You remember one time Jesus said, "Stay far away from me, I do not know you." They even prophesied. They even cast out demons in the name of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus said, "I did not know you." So be careful, the church. We need to know Jesus. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. These young men were growing up in the temple. They were participating. They were even ordained to be the priests. Compared to today, they were preachers. The Bible said they were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. And if you continue to read the scripture, you find out that they really stole the offering from the offering bag or from whatever God gave to God into their own wallet. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, 22-25, talking about adultery. They committed adultery in the house of God. Now Eli was very old and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for is this not a good report that I hear? You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. They did not repent because the Lord desired to kill them. The Lord was very angry with them, very upset with these men who had a position in the church. They corrupt, they committed adultery, and they did not honor God. They despised the things of God. I want to remind you that it's possible that we can get used to the things of God. It's possible that we can practice what we call familiarity. No, God can send the pillar of fire into this house, into the parking lot out there. And every day you can come to church on Sunday, you see the pillar of fire out there, and you see the cloud of glory come and fill this house. Maybe after a few years, you get used to those things. And you began to take them for granted. And you did not honor the things of God anymore. You remember the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness. God gave them the pillar of cloud to protect them from the sunshine. And God gave them the pillar of fire to give direction, to give the light for them to walk at night. They saw that every single day, And not only that, God fed them with manna and with quail. And after a few months, a few weeks, they began to complain. They say, God, we are so sick of this manna. The same food again and again. When are you going to give us pizza or give us some other kind of steak? We are tired of this quail. We need other steak. We need other kind of food. We want to eat sushi. We want to eat bun thit nuang and other stuff. We need some Spanish food too. Latino food. This is too tired. Mana, mana, mana again and again. They began to get used to the blessing of God. Instead of honoring the things of God, they complained. I wake up every day. I thank God for my wife. I thank God that God gave Pastor Da to be my wife. I thank God for my children. I wake up every day and I really appreciate the members of the church. I don't want to take all of you for granted. I don't want to take any leadership in this church for granted. I want to honor the things that God has given to my life. My wife, my kids, this church, my job. We need to thank God every day instead of complaining and complaining like these people. You know, when you get used to the things of God for a while, your hearts became hardened and you became insensitive to the things of God. These children of Israel forgot that if they did not have this manna, they would have died. They would have starved to death. But they complained against God. They become ungrateful and then they fail to honor the Lord. One thing that I have to watch my mouth carefully, and I need to remind my family all the time, don't complain. Because complain is a sign of dishonoring God. Complain is a sign of displeasing with the things that God gives to us. So we should not complain that like the children of Israel. Amen. Don't have the hardened heart. Appreciate everything around you. Love everyone that God brought into your life. Amen. Appreciate the church you have now, this building. Appreciate everything that God gives to you. Don't get used to the anointing in the church. Don't get used to the fire of God in the church. Don't take it for granted. Amen. I believe that we are living, I believe with all my heart, that we are living in the era of the increase in the supernatural. We are living in the time of the increase in the spectacular. We're going to see more signs and wonders in the church. Amen. We're going to see people get healed. Demon come out from people. Signs and wonder will happen. Signs and wonder will capture the attention of the non-believers. And when you see signs and wonders, what happened? You will stop and look and marvel and wonder what's going on here. I believe that God is going to increase signs and wonders according to the promise of the prophet Joel, that God going to perform signs and wonder in the heavens and also on the earth here. And are we ready? Are you ready for signs and wonders? One thing we need to be careful is not get used to. We should not get used to the anointing or the things of God to the point that we despise the move of God. I believe that we are living in the end time move of God. Amen. We are living in a time that the Holy Spirit is going to move mightily upon the surface of the earth. And I want to be part of that. How many people want to be part of the move of God in the end time? What are we seeing right now? What we are seeing right now is just the glimpse, just a little bit. I believe that as years go by, we're going to see more and more signs and wonders and the great move of God happen everywhere. Amen. But in order to be a part of that move of God, we need to have some preparation. What kind of preparation we need to do? Number one, we need to stir ourselves up all the time to be hungry for the things of God. We need to desire for the things of God. Not only that, not only do we get hungry, not only that we desire, we need to reverence. We need to esteem. We need to respect. We need to honor the things of God. We don't take it for granted. We don't treat the things of God or the move of God or the Holy Spirit or even the Word of God as common. We don't treat those things that God gives to the church as unimportant things. Many years ago in the 60s and 70s, there was the move of the Word of God, the teaching of faith. But now we are living in new century that the move of the Word or the revelation of the Word joined together with the move of the Spirit. So now going to be powerful because the church that follow the move of God going to preach the word of God without compromise and the word of faith. And at the same time, we're going to see the manifestation of the spirit of the living God. But what we need to do, stay hungry and stay reverencing the move of God. We need to keep honoring the anointing. Don't take it like something common. What does it mean to honor? To honor means to see the value, to prize it, and to esteem, and to also consider it very weighty and valuable. How about to despise? The Bible talks about, who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. To despise doesn't mean to hate, doesn't mean to be disgusted with, but also mean to have little regard of. It means to treat something as insignificant or to make light of. If you see God's moving in the house today and you hear the word of God and you say, what a big deal. I heard this message again and again. Oh, I see people get touched by God so many times. What a big deal. I don't care. That is despising God. It's the attitude. When you see God is doing something and you just say, what a big deal. I don't care. I don't have nothing, not no business with this thing of God. I see this all the time. So we need to be careful not to have that kind of attitude of despising the things of God. We need to learn what is important in the eyes of God. As I mentioned, our God is the honorable God. And God considers something important for him. We need to find out from the Bible. We need to find out from the Holy Spirit what is important in the eyes of God. What God consider honorable. And then we honor those things according to his heart, according to his will. Amen. We need to find out what is good in his eyes and what is not good in his eyes. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about honoring the anointing of God. What does it mean, anointing? Anointing means the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Without the anointing, I cannot preach today. One thing that I have been kind of struggling all these years as a pastor is Saturday. Saturday, I need to read my sermon 2 times before I come up on the pulpit here because I want to preach well. I want to prepare the food well, like a cook. I want to make the food so good that you can learn something and go home changed. So on Saturday, because I was sitting at home in the physical environment, I did not feel the anointing. So when I prepare the teaching, I feel so inadequate to preach the message. But God is so faithful. Every time I come up here, the anointing comes upon me and I began to preach. Without the anointing, I cannot preach. Without the anointing, the preaching will be just talking. Will be just empty speech. Will be just somebody, yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. And you listen and you don't get anything in your spirit. It's just somebody talk to your head. And just get head knowledge and nothing happened to your life. We need the anointing. Without the anointing, worship will be just a ritual. Prayer meeting will be just a commotion that people come and just pray together without any effect. We need the anointing to do everything. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the manifest presence of God. Some people look at the anointing that the anointing is just healing somebody or performing miracle. No, no. The anointing means the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And it can reveal in a different way. It can manifest in a different way. You can have the anointing to encourage people. You can have anointing to lead worship. But one thing we need to do is to esteem the anointing. This is the principle of God. The more you are faithful, everyone say faithful. The more you are faithful to use the anointing or to flow in the anointing God gives to you. And second thing, the more you esteem or honor or respect the anointing, the more God gonna give to you. I expect to have more anointing next year than this year. How many people expect to have more anointing next year? And what I need to do to have more anointing is to be faithful in using my anointing to bless other people. Let the rivers flow out of me. And not only that, I need to also honor the anointing in my life and the anointing in people's life. If you are faithful and honor, God gonna give you more increase. But if we take it for granted, If we just treat the anointing as common and we just put the anointing in the ground, in the soil and don't do anything with it, we just enjoy the feeling, but we don't go out to witness, to evangelize, to help people around us, eventually the anointing will stop growing. And we're going to have that amount and never grow. If we want to grow in the anointing, we need to use the anointing to bless other people. And not only that, we need to honor and esteem the anointing of God. And the same way, if we want the anointing to work for us, we need the power. You know, one thing that I told the Mercer Island, this is what I share with her. She interviewed me for an hour. God is so good. My patient at 1 p.m. canceled, and she called to me 12:45. So I have the whole hour interview with the Mercer Island reporter. And one thing that I told, she said that, Pastor, Dr. Lau, how do you as a neurosurgeon relate to the spiritual thing or the healing in the church or the supernatural thing in the church? I explained to her this way. I said that we have three realms. The physical realm, the emotional realm, or the mental realm, and the spiritual realm. As human beings, we're just looking for the physical realm, and we need to do anything in the physical realm to be able to have victory. We need to go to work, wake up on time, go to work on time, work hard, pay the bill so that we will not get sent to collection. We need to do everything in the physical realm. We go to see doctor, take medication, have surgery, whatever. I explained to her this way. But the mental realm is something else that we need to deal with too. But there is one more realm that will affect the mental realm and the physical realm. That is the realm of the spirit. And we need to understand, I say that I teach the members of this church to how to hook up to the realm of the spirit. And when you know how to move in the realm of the spirit, then you're going to live a supernatural life. And that realm of the spirit will impact the realm of the physical and the realm of the natural, your finances, your body, everything. We need to learn, and oh, that the lady have fun. What else teach me about the realm of the spirit? I say that there's nothing wrong to be a scientist like me, to be a neurosurgeon like me, to know about the realm of the spirit. I want this church to continue to move in the anointing. Because one of these days, you're going to need the power of God. Actually, you need the power of God right now. I told this reporter, and I told a few patients. Some patients come to me with bad cancer, with bad problem. Last week, I met a man, 44 years old. 2 days have arm weakness, leg weakness. Show up in the emergency room and the MRI show a terrible brain cancer, 44 years old. And I told all these people, actually I told one Christian in my clinic and they cry when I say that. I say that I promise God that every Sunday I'm going to stretch out my hand and bless the member in my church. The cancer, sickness and disease, this is spiritual realm. We are dealing with the spiritual realm right now. I'm not giving you the prescription. I am doing spiritual thing to command cancer and sickness and poverty and disease cannot touch the member of this church. I have expectation that the member of this church will live a long life, prolonged day, and serve God until the end of their life. We not only get the word, but we need to move in the power. We need to honor the anointing of the Lord. And if we don't honor the anointing, we will get into trouble. Look at what happened at that time in Nazareth. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But he was growing up in Nazareth. What happened to him at that time? In the town of Nazareth, no one esteemed the anointing of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 24. So he came to Nazareth. And where he had been brought up, as this is talking about Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is talking about anointing, is right? The anointing means the manifest presence of the Spirit of God. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, signs and wonders here. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he tried to say this. I am that person. I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. I have the anointing and I can help you. If you are sick, come to me. I heal you. If you have broken hearted, I can heal your broken heart. I'm that man who has the anointing to help you today. That's what he tried to say. But you see the reaction. You see the response that these people did not honor the anointing. Actually, Jesus has the anointing without limit. He received the Holy Spirit at the river of Jordan, and he has the anointing without limit. I like to be like that. It'll be fun, huh? Have the anointing without limit. So all bore witness to him and marvel at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they say, is this not Joseph's son? Now they connect him to his upbringing. He was just a young boy at that time. He was running around with his brother and sister in Nazareth. Who he is? How dare he say that? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, as surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. These people did not honor the anointing in the life of Jesus Christ. And look at the result. In Mark chapter 6 verse 5, now he couldn't do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. They were so mad at him that he claimed to be the Messiah. And he pushed him to the cliff. And he wanted to kill him, push him down to the cliff. They were so mad at him. But supernaturally, he walked through them out and saved. Do you see the result here? These people in that town, Nazareth, did not honor the anointing of God upon Jesus' life. They missed the blessing. They did not receive healing. They did not receive miracle because they looked down. They despised. They treat Jesus as a common person instead of treating him as a special anointed person. My dear brother and sister, we need to be careful. Sometimes, we are around some people for a long time. I give you example. Last Sunday, when I was sitting there listening to Pastor Tyson preaching. Pastor Tyson, how old are you now? 29 years old. I was listening to him. I did not think that I was listening to a young man. I was listening to an anointed man. In fact, I remember that he was jumped up and down on my bed. In my bedroom at 1004, 126 Northeast, Seattle. When I started the church, Pirate and Brenda joined my church and he was maybe about 6-7 years old. He was jumped up and down on my bed like this. And my bed was broken. I just bought it from Lovitz, brand new bed. It was broken. That's okay, for God. And I remember one day at John Bastia College, I took him into the room up there and pray for him to receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongue. He was maybe about 11 years old at that time. But now, God anointed him to be a pastor and preacher. Should I say, oh, Tyson, he is that boy on my bed. Jump up and down. No, I cannot do that. Because if I did that, I will never receive anything from this man. Whatever he say will be meaningless to me because I despise the anointing in him. The same thing in the church. You need to understand that every believer is anointed. Do you know that? Every one of us have different anointing. In fact, on Friday night, I went to the prayer meeting at the Seattle U. I stayed there for a couple hours. They have an all-night prayer meeting. When I stepped into the room, I saw a vision. And in this vision, God told me that in this church, I saw the army. Have you ever seen the movie called Mummy? The movie called Mummy, and there is a soldier come out with a sword like this and walk like this. toward the good guy and try to kill him. And he just used, you know, magic or something, fight with those soldiers. I saw that kind of picture of soldier from this church. And they all look like a pure gold shining, the glory of the pure gold out of them. And not only that, I see that army filled with the fire out from their body and then run so fast to win the world for Jesus Christ. I saw that vision. And God tried to tell me that out of this church, my people gonna be purified by the fire of God. My people gonna be the end time bride of Christ. They're gonna be the soldier, and they were not walking around on the city just like a defeated fool. But they're gonna walk around with the fire of God. They will be pure. They're gonna shine the glory and the honor of God. If they stick here and they don't leave the church, they're gonna be changed by the power of God. Amen. So what I try to say that all of you are anointed and God is giving you more anointing. Therefore, we need to honor each other anointing. Amen. When some brother and sister come to tell me something, I listen carefully because I honor his or her anointing. Because he can speak something to me that I don't know. Amen. We need to honor each other's anointing. Even kids, look at Stephanie come up to sing song here. Look at her anointing shine from her face. The young people can have an anointing. We need to respect and honor each other anointing. But sometimes this is the problem of familiarity. We stay together, we eat together, we have fun, we play games, we run around with the kids and fall down. And after a while, we become familiar with one another. Sometimes you honor the preacher who on the platform that you don't know their life and you never seen their mistake. But then you forget about the anointing of the man of God in your church or your own care group leader or some leader in the church that mingle with you and eat with you. But you see his mistake all the time because he's human. He make mistake. The only person in the world that never make mistake is Jesus Christ. You're going to see mistake from every believer in the church. We all make mistake. Don't let those mistakes make you look down or despise the anointing in somebody's life. You need to honor the anointing in them. The devil has been working so hard to destroy humanity. And one of the ways that the devil works so hard to destroy humanity is that he tried to steal the honor of God from all of you. He would do everything to make you feel dishonor, unimportant, feel like a junk, feel like a garbage can. He would tell some of you since you were young that you are ugly, you are not important, you are not capable, you are a failure. Have you ever heard that voice in your heart when you were young? I remember I heard that all the time when I was young. Oh, you are ugly. Da will not like you. But thank God Da has the spiritual eyes. Will not look at only my outward appearance. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Don't listen to those junk. The devil tried to look down on you. The devil tried to steal the honor of God out of you. Do you know, if you understand the principle in the Bible, God created all human beings in the image of God. Therefore, we need to honor all men because they were created in the image of God. We need to honor everybody, but especially we need to honor the believers, brother and sister in the church. Our brother and sister have the anointing and we should not take it for granted. We should not look down on one another. They are very valuable. Let's turn to each other and say, you are important. You are valuable. Amen. If you discover who you are in Christ, if you discover who you are in Christ, you will live a victorious life. If you realize that you are a son and a daughter of the living God, the King of all kings, you realize that you know that you are the redeemed one and you have the anointing on the inside of you. If you realize that the one who is in you is greater than the world, you are not just a jerk or dirt ball around here. You are a son and a daughter of God. Amen. Amen. You shall carry yourself in a different way. You shall carry yourself as a son and a daughter of God. You will walk with faith, and you know that God, my Father in heaven, will listen to my prayer. When you command something to happen, it shall happen because you know and you have confidence that God listened to your prayer. Amen. It will be totally different, but the devil will work on the opposite way. He will try to make you feel you are not important and you are just a leftover in the church. No, you are important in the eyes of God. You are worthy. You are valuable. You are as expensive as the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, no matter what background you have, no matter who you are precious. You are the apple of his eyes. He knows the numbers of your hair. Some of them, he doesn't have to count that much. He knows the number. And he knows everything about your life. He cares for you. And he has the best plan for your life. Amen. And you are anointed. Everyone say, I am anointed. And the anointing is amazing. Amen. When the anointing is moving, sometimes you get scared. Because you don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to do next. But that's okay. You learn how to flow in the anointing. You learn how to flow. You know, when we get people out here to be lay hand on, some people scare. Some say, oh, what's going to happen to me? Don't worry. The anointing never hurt anybody. The anointing only bless people. And you learn how to hook up. You learn how to flow in the anointing. So when you go out there in this marketplace or in the bus stop, you learn how to flow in the anointing. It takes time to learn. Do you know that you are in the school of faith here? You are the student of faith. And you're the army of God. And God is teaching you how to walk in the power. How to use gun, the anointing. How to use sword. How to use your big gun and all kind of weapon. And that is the anointing in you. The power of God. He is teaching you how to use those anointing to take care of this world for him. Amen. Therefore, we need to honor the anointing. I will continue next Sunday about honoring the anointing. How many people say, I'm going to honor the anointing? How many people want God to give you more anointing? What do you do? Faithfulness and honoring, esteeming the anointing of God. This morning, I would like to ask you three questions. The first group I'd like to ask, people who never accept Christ at all and say, God, today I want to accept Christ. I want to become a child of God. I want to be a son and a daughter of God. Jesus died for us to pay for our sin. And he wants to save you. He doesn't want you to live in sin or go to the eternal lake of fire. This is the first group of people I want to ask. Some of you may say, I believe God already. I have heard about God. I believe in God, but I never proclaim my faith in public. I want the public, I want the world to know that I am a Christian today. I want to declare that I believe in Jesus Christ in public. And the third group of people are those who have known Christ, but walk away from him for a period of time. And you say, I want to come back home today. If you are this group of people, these three kinds of people today, I want to encourage you to stand up and declare that I want to be a Christian and I want to come back home. If you are those people, could you stand up? And I would like to lead you in prayer at your chair there. Can stand up. To show to people that I am a Christian. I give my life to God today. Stand up. Don't be shy. Amen. Stand up. Anyone else? You want to declare. You may accept Christ in your own bedroom, but you never declare. God say, if you are not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of you before the Father in heaven. Don't be ashamed. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Okay? Thank you for standing up. You honor God today by standing up. God will honor you. Because you are not ashamed of his name. You are not ashamed to be a child of God, a daughter of God. Pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I give my life to you. I come back home today. I turn away from my sin. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my God and my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. You were raised from the dead on the third day and you died on the cross to wash my sin away. I am your child today. My name is recorded in the book of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give them hands to these people. Praise God. Congratulations. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.